Hello, Aquarius, and welcome to part two of Astrology Studio for 2019 for Aquarius and Aquarius Rising, and what the heck, from your Aquarius Moon Astrologer, we can include that too. My name is Eric Francis, here speaking to you on the first day of February 2019. It's been a week since I recorded part one. That week has gone quickly, hasn't it? And quite a bit has happened on the planet and in our lives, and it's hard to keep track of time in any kind of way that seems rational right now, though it's probably worth trying to do so. Anyway, we gave a broad overview of your movements in the last part of this reading, and set some of the large themes. I'd like to look a bit at the specific areas where there are going to be concentrated changes for you over the next four seasons, you know, where the energy is going to really be gathering strength. And meanwhile, while I've been working on this project, I have been in the background working on the written reading for Aquarius for the Intelligence series. And for that, I am looking at the chart for the winter solstice of 2020. And I want to mention that chart because it's really an extraordinary chart, because Saturn returns to your sign. Saturn is the ruling planet of Aquarius in classical astrology, and I know that a lot of astrologers use the modern planet Uranus as the ruler of Aquarius, though that doesn't work with the rulership system, and there's going to be a knowledge gap in the understanding of both Saturn and Aquarius if we don't keep them together for quite a while, long enough to see how they interrelate and see how they inform one another. Because if you don't understand Saturn, it's very hard to understand Aquarius. And if you don't understand Aquarius, it's impossible to understand Saturn. So with that in mind, there's going to be this planetary convergence in the first degree of your sign in just a little under 2 years, and everything is heading in that direction for you. And so whatever we might say as, you know, part of this reading or any other, there's a point of arrival, there's a kind of a destination that is indicated. And as I've said in a lot of previous readings, the rarity of an event is indicative of the strength and the prominence, you know, I'm trying to not say importance, so let's say strength and prominence of that event. And the interesting thing about Jupiter and Saturn, though they meet in a conjunction every 20 years, and it's always meaningful, it always pushes a generation forward, this, whatever, in whatever direction that might be, whether you like it or not, is that there has not been a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn and Aquarius since 1405. I went through the astrology forward and backward several times to make sure I wasn't missing one. And then in that's early 15th century. The one previous was sometime in the 14th century, 13 something. So we're really talking about no conjunctions of Saturn and Jupiter in your sign ever in the modern era, for more than 600 years. That's impressive. It reminds me a little bit of the way in which there was not a retrograde of Mars in Aquarius for 47 years, but now we're talking like 12 times the duration of that. But you can see how much energy can be stored up when an event hasn't happened even in just half a century, as was the case with last summer's retrograde of Mars, mostly in Aquarius. And so this is a big opportunity, and it's an invitation, and it's going to be worth keeping in mind, particularly given that the next year is the peak of, a certain kind of inner quest that you're on, given that all of the major activity, or most of it anyway, is focused in the sign Capricorn. Capricorn is your 12th house. That's the house of the parallel dimension, the house of consciousness placed one degree away, the dream that is so vivid in the morning, and then you barely remember that dream later in the day, but you can tune in, and it's as if you're, peering in through a little, hole in the wall and looking at something that you were previously standing inside of and living inside of and feeling all the feelings and steeped and immersed in its message. And now it's in a parallel dimension. And so in astrology, we have kind of a place to describe this, and that's the 12th place. It's the place before your sign or rising sign. So if you're orienting your chart on Aquarius, as we're doing, then the 12th place is Capricorn. And currently in Capricorn, there are many things going on, but one of them is that Saturn, your ruling sign, is there. So you're visiting this dimension away place, because you're the planet that represents your sign and therefore is a significator for you, maybe others, but that's certainly one of them, is hanging out in the 12th house, and it's approaching Pluto. And this too is one of those rare conjunctions, only it's even more rare than Jupiter-Saturn. Saturn-Pluto is one that happens in our era about every 36 years or so. For our grandparents, was probably more like once every 40 years or 38 years. So it varies a little bit, but it happens approximately half as often as Saturn and Jupiter. So it too is a very significant conjunction, and these both happen in 2020, and they are of profoundly different nature. And the first of the two, which I described in part one, is this sense of this urgency of inner movement and of understanding and mapping out your interior reality. And you might say breaking down the big chunks of resistance that you might be feeling inside. Having Capricorn in the 12th is not particularly easy, because the 12th wants to be fluid and flexible, and Saturn is like your sign in a different way, one of those highly structured things. And now the structure is being altered by the presence of Pluto, and altered even more quickly by the presence of Saturn. And then there's Pholus and Quasar that have arrived, two very slow-moving, newly discovered points, not asteroids. One's a centaur, and one is a Kuiper object. And so there's a lot of pressure coming out of the 12th house. And this is guiding you, pushing you, making it inevitable in many ways that you are going to loosen up and not be so inwardly rigid. And this quality of being inwardly rigid has, been a thing for you. It's been something that is likely that you've identified and wanted to work on, and it's likely you want to be a little more like the water and a little less like the urn. And this takes a very conscious form of self-acceptance and self-understanding and being willing to change. And now you've got power tools helping you through this territory where, the solid quality of Capricorn is gradually being broken down by the combination of forces that are in the 12th house. And then at the end of 2020, which will come fairly quickly, both of these are going to, you know, Jupiter's going to enter at a certain point in late 2019. And then at the end of 2020, both are going to emerge into your sign at the same time and form a conjunction on the winter solstice. It is fucking momentous. And there's a metaphor that may or may not work, but you know, maybe you've had that thing where like you're working, maybe doing woodworking or working in a metal shop, and you get a splinter, and the splinter is embedded in your skin, and the skin heals over it. I don't know if you ever had that happen. And I only had it happen once, and it was a really interesting experience. And what the body does is heals around the foreign object, and then gently, slowly pushes it to the surface. And when it breaks the surface, it kind of hurts, but it also is a really pleasant experience to, you know, feel it, the body kind of push this thing out. It might take a day or two to push it out, and then you just kind of pull out this metal shard you've been carrying around for, you know, 6 months or a year, and then, like, you're free in a way. It's a powerful metaphor in, like, how good it feels when it happens. And that's a little like what Saturn and Pluto coming out of your 12th, Saturn and Jupiter, rather, coming out of your 12th house is going to be. Pluto doesn't come out for a long time. That process is going to go on for quite a while. And that's somewhat of an, it's not exactly another matter, but it, once you go through the events of 2019 and 2020, having Pluto in your 12th, I think, is going to find a space of homeostasis, and you will depend upon it as a guiding force for your inner journey. So to sum all this up, it's as if you are doing all of this inner processing of what looks to me like ancestral material. And there's an inheritance implied, a kind of a psychic and karmic inheritance implied in doing 12th house work. And you have Capricorn, and the thing is with the 12th, it really informs the nature of a person. It's not your sign, it's the sign before, but it's like the stock material out of which you're made. And and now is a rare, beautiful time to get in there and understand what you're made of, and to understand your inner nature in all of the dynamics that you experience, all of them, be they emotional, psychic, familial, relational, sexual, is a very important theme of the 12th house. And you're in a space of total immersion through this era of Saturn, your ruling planet, in the 12th. You have kind of an option to either have the sense of yourself gone missing. That is one metaphor for the ruling planet of the first house being in the 12th, or the sense of being able to spend a lot of time inside yourself and to understand yourself, or to seek understanding in a way. And this is worth noting, that changes continuously. So you might be inclined, as many are, on kind of a growth path to be certain that you found it and found yourself, and then it's just going to all keep moving, all this energy inside. And when you get to 1/12/20, when Saturn and Jupiter form a conjunction, you will know that you've reached a turning point in this process. 1/12/20, a little bit less than 1 year from today. So let's consider a couple of the other transits that are happening, and what they mean, and the movement I'm going to use the Jupiter-Saturn chart here because it's not in the notebook, and I can turn it and line the houses up. So let's consider Monday's new moon. This is quite a chart. And I think it sets the theme. The new moon on Monday, the 4th of February, big day if that's your birthday, but it really will influence all Aquarians, is exactly at the midpoint of Aquarius. So it's at 15 degrees and 45 arc minutes. So the 30 degrees in the sign. So put something at the 15th degree or 16th degree. It's right in the middle of the sign, and it is at a peak of energy, kind of a cusp, meaning peak, not borderline, of energy within within that particular region. And one of the reasons that this particular day is meaningful is that it is Imbolc, meaning the cross-quarter day between the northern hemisphere winter solstice and northern hemisphere spring equinox. Reverse that in the southern hemisphere, so it's the turning point in the season. And that in turn relates directly to the Aries point, because it's 135 degrees away, three semi-squares, or a square plus a semi-square. That's got a lot of mathematical integrity to it, and so it taps into something large, something larger than you and larger than life. And so there's tremendous integrity to this, and it is saying that you are on solid ground, and you know where you're going. But at the same time, there are two aspects that are brewing. I'm going to switch back to the new moon chart here because I'm going to need to get a look at these. They involve Venus and Mars. Venus and Mars are potentially a little kind of off the normal color map of a Saturn-ruled sign. They're much more emotional than Saturn or Aquarius. Neither has any special dignity in Aquarius. And so they are, you might describe them as kind of a growth territory for you. And at the new moon, Venus is all through this week and into the new moon, Venus is passing through a square to a number of different points. And so Venus is going to be conjunct Volus and conjunct Quasar and square Chiron and square Scylla. There's a lot of sexual material in that, and there's a lot of delicate emotion in that. So while your chart is got this real strength and integrity based on the new moon on the cross quarter, the other thing going on is that there is a delicacy here, not in the sense of a potato salad, but delicateness of your emotional state. And you want to be careful with that, particularly where your feelings are concerned and where emotions are concerned and the feelings of others for you, and, you know, proceed in a gentle way with your feelings and those of other people. At the same time, Mars is also in this very unusual state where Mars has been in a square to Pluto and will be making a conjunction to Eris. And what this is suggesting is that you have to manage your quest for power and be very careful how you emote and how you say things to others. So there can be a kind of a ruthlessness with Mars square Pluto and with Mars conjunct Eris. And part of that can come in the form of a surreptitious approach, a kind of a covert action type of approach. And so the way to subvert that is to keep your feelings, your actions, and your intentions right up front and on the table. Keep the conversation active and alive and going, and be certainly honest with yourself about your emotions and your desires, but also be honest about the ways in which you want to grow, the changes that you want to make, the ways in which you are being tested emotionally, and the ways in which you are doing all this processing work. And I know there are some people who are open with their partners about this, and with friends and potential romantic suitors about this, and others who kind of keep it swept underneath the underneath the surface of things, so that there's not the risk of vulnerability of sharing your inner process. I would suggest taking the opposite approach, where you are open about your inner approach and open about what from the past you're healing, and under the influence of both of these. I mean, these are very meaningful aspect patterns. I wish I could convey it better than I am doing it, but squares are all about expression. The integrity of a square comes from the integration of the arms of the square. So, for example, in the case of Venus, it's currently the Capricorn arm, will be on Monday at the new moon, the Capricorn arm and the Aries arm, and then from expressing what needs to be expressed. So there may be feelings, there may be desires to change, there may be decisions, there may be actions you need to take based on those decisions. And if you do that, you can, stay in a clear state of mind. One of the problems with squares and why they are considered depressing is when they're not acted upon, when the thing that the square is calling forth, which is action with integrity, is not acted upon, they can kind of be a bit of a downer. And so remember that the opposite of depression is expression, and you have these major squares in your solar return chart wanting to be expressed. So one of those is the Venus configuration, which is Venus Quaer Pholis, which, as I may have mentioned, is channeling all kinds of family material. So you want to think a little bit differently than your family and notice, for example, when you are taking on the sexual language, attributes, values, decisions of ancestors. And the other square is the Pluto-Mars-Eris configuration. And that's the one that is, more about what you do with anger, what you do with aggressive feelings, what you do with feelings of wanting to get revenge on people, all of those dark things and all various kinds of ruthless thoughts that all humans at least think on one level or another, whether you're, going to blow up the company or poison someone, or all these fantasies people have about having to get revenge on the people who have screwed them over. Well, that is very nicely encrypted in Aries Capricorn and this high tension square of Pluto and Eris with little Mars coming through. So don't be disturbed by these thoughts. Let them come up. Let be conscious of what you're thinking and make friends with it to some degree. Get a good laugh out of it, and maybe write it in the form of a fictional story, or in some way express it in a positive and creative way. I have a beef to pick with a newspaper in the community, and the other day I walked in with my camera and photographed everyone in the newspaper office because I wanted the file photos, and I just felt like pissing them off with something perfectly harmless, and I got my photos, and they were pissed off, and I got a good laugh, and everything was good. So find creative and healthy ways to do this. I could do that because I'm a reporter, and they can't really say anything about that. And we all had to agree that it was perfectly fair game. So, you know, be fair in this, but let your mind do what your mind does. And if you're angry about someone or pissed off at someone or, you know, want to burn their house down, hang out there for a minute. Don't shove it under. The problem when we shove these thoughts under is that they we're abandoning them, and they take on a life of their own, and they become very angry. And a lot of the 12th house activity that you've got, by the way, is the unrepressing of all of this repressed shit. And I'm talking about going back for generations. And while it is not your responsibility to process the material of all 23,000 of your ancestors for the last 11 generations, it is your responsibility to deal with the results, with the residue of what you've accumulated and what's been passed on to you, and to kind of purge that out, right? To cleanse yourself of that and put it to some creative expression. All right, one other really major thing going on, and this partly represents the tension of the moment that we are in. But if you look at this chart, and I will post the chart for the new moon with this recording, I'll just snap a photo out of it right out of my notebook, is that Uranus is about to change signs. This we know. It's been in Aries for 7 years. It made a brief cameo in Taurus last year for about 4 or 5 months, retrograded back into Aries. This is how outer planets change signs. They dip in for a little while to the next sign first, and they back out. They hang out in the old sign, complete unfinished business, and then they return to the new sign where they stay for years. That's Uranus making its transition into Taurus. And I'll get to what I think that's about in a second. The other is that Chiron is in the very last degrees of Pisces. There's only 18 more days of Chiron in Pisces. That process began in approximately 2010. So it's, you know, ear to ear, end to end. It's a 9-year process, approximately. I think it goes from like 4/20/10 to 2/18/19. And Chiron as well made a brief foray into Aries last year, retrograded back, and then re-entered. Will re-enter Aries, where it will stay for 8 more years. So to have these two planets like lingering on the edge, like that, right? Lingering on the edge of their signs in your solar return chart will kind of encrypt that edgy feeling of everything about to change into your life path this year, so that it's a constant reminder that you are on, you know, you're like walking along this borderline. And maybe seen another way, walking with one foot in each of two worlds. And so, you know, be aware of what these changes are about. I'm going to just go over briefly. Let me clip this from my notebook again. Let's take Uranus. And remember that Uranus is the modern planet associated with Aquarius. By the way, that was arbitrarily picked out by one astrologer named Raphael, the founder of Raphael's Ephemeris. His proper name evades me. Raphael was his professional name. And, you know, he made his contribution to astrology in the form of this annual ephemeris that is still in print. And anyway, there's an affiliation between Uranus and Aquarius. And I think of it really as having two pickups. One is the well, three, the inventive quality of Uranus works with Aquarius. The rebellious quality of Uranus works with Aquarius. The group quality of Uranus works with Aquarius. And this thing about electricity, so that's four. You can name a few. This is, they're not a mismatch. But the thing with rulerships is that once you start doing advanced astrology, where you want to start getting dependable information, work with Saturn first. And Saturn contains many of these properties that we attribute to Uranus, by the way. Saturn is one of the most dependable agents of change and progress that there is. Without Saturn, indeed, there is no change or progress. So cheers to Saturn and Saturn and Aquarius for that. All right, so Uranus is changing signs, and it's moving from your third to your fourth. Here's why that's likely to be helpful. Moving through the third, it's been moving through Aries, and I'm in the middle of a long kind of explanation of why having Aries in the third makes Aquarius what it is. The focus on the intellect, the focus on your thinking process, that's all third house. And where you have Aries, you seek identity and you bring energy there. And so you've had Uranus passing through there for 7 years, and that's kind of chaotic. That's mentally chaotic. It's hard to focus. So Uranus is going to move into the fourth place, which is Taurus, which is it's going to help you shake up the things in your life that are overstable, that have been stable for too long and need to get a little jazzed up and like blow the dust out, and let's get some of this creaky energy moving and shake things up a little bit. So, you know, you may get restless, and when you get restless, the thing to do is use the energy somehow. You may want to be in a bigger space. You may want to be in a different city. You may want to completely reorganize or renovate your home. I would recommend starting with the kitchen or maybe the bedroom if you're going to do that. You may start to want to entertain you in your home. You may want to, you know, get the local astrology group going in your home or whatever it might be. And whatever it is will have a little bit of a rebellious feeling to it. But you're on the edge of that, right? So it's like in your solar return chart, Uranus is perched on the edge. So it's as if you get an extended visit to that moment before everything changes. All right, second is Chiron is changing signs into your third. And it's, in a sense, replacing Uranus. Here's why this is likely to feel really, really good. Chiron has a focusing power that Uranus doesn't have. Uranus has a rebellious power, and it can be a little unethical. It, you know, it's Promethean. It can light things on fire, steal the fire from the gods. One thing that Uranus does not have is a disciplined quality, a focusing power that has to come from somewhere else, and it's going to come from Saturn or from Chiron, and you're going to have Chiron in your third house. So this is the expression of the desire to find yourself through finding your ideas. So this is going to pull you deep into some communication practice, intellectual practice, scholarly practice, study practice, which you're doing for its own sake and as a means of finding yourself. I personally think you're going to love Chiron in Aries because it's going to help you find your voice, most likely a writing voice. The third house is a little less about speaking. Aries, a little less about speaking. We want to look at Taurus more for things, Venus and Taurus for things of voice and for speaking. The third and Aries and Chiron is more likely to describe communication activity in writing, commercial activity, i.e. what you sell, and also the refinement and deepening of your mind. I don't know what you do or what your hobbies are, but I would highly recommend taking up a healing practice, study something. One of my favorite things to study is homeopathy when I have the occasion to do it. So I will take any case I can get. It is a fucking interesting philosophy to look at. And get, if you, for example, you know, get a real book. Don't get a pop book out of like Barnes & Noble. Go to Homeopathic Education Services or astrology or tarot or herbalism or a branch of philosophy that you've been interested in, or a branch of psychology that you've been interested in. Psychology is amazing. If you're going to take that up, and it would be a perfect fit for Chiron Aries third, I would say hover in around the 60s and 70s. There were some amazing psychology books written, and they were often bestsellers. And one or more of these, and you're likely to branch out, you know, but focus on one. That's the thing with Chiron, is it wants some focus and it wants a point of orientation, and then you build, you get a little structure going and a loose framework, but a framework, and deepen yourself through a field of study, third, of healing, Chiron, where you are doing something new. And with initiative, Aries, and where you train yourself by reading and writing, third. And if you do this for a while, it could easily become a business. But for by a while, I mean, I would you know, wait until like Chiron is halfway through, or a chunk into Aries and has made some aspects to your chart, before you think about it as a commercial activity. Very important third house feature, and preserve it as a way of finding yourself, as a way of deepening yourself, as a way of gaining the kind of service-oriented intellectual refinement that Chiron is so good at. I mean, Chiron devoted his life to healing all the way through, before and after the injury, right? He's injured at a certain point. But for thousands of years, he was an immortal. He taught medicine and surgery. He was the master teacher of medicine and surgery. To this day, surgery in France is called chirurgie. My French accent's terrible. But chir, C-H-E-I-R, as in Chiron, chirurgie, I think it's the pronunciation, is the word for surgery, because it's done with the hands. And so that, by the way, element comes in as well, hands-on practice of some kind. So meanwhile, you know, you're on the brink of these, and one beautiful thing about the placement of Chiron in the new moon chart, which I'm thinking is the epicenter of your solar return, that's Monday's new moon on the 4th on Imbolc, is that Chiron is in the last degree of Pisces. And the last degree of Pisces is a degree of visioning. It's a degree where it is possible to, it's kind of like greatly enhanced power of imagination of who you become. And so focus that power of imagination. Envision yourself. Because all of this stuff you're doing, all this Capricorn that I've been talking about, for example, and the journey of Chiron through Aries is about a reformation of yourself. And you need a vision to do that reformation. You've got to be working from some architecture, a template, a model, or an exemplar, or two, or three people that you look up to and that you, you know, use as a model. Pick high beings as your models. Pick people who are devoted to solving their own problems, and people who are good at feeling good about themselves without needing to push that into the realm of the bullshit side of that, which is, you know, egotism and narcissism and all of that stuff. It's possible to feel good about yourself with none of those negative trappings. And that is a subject that I will touch on in Tarot Studio. I'll follow up on that. But you know, you have planets in Pisces right now, Neptune and Vesta's in Pisces right now, and Nessus. And this is saying take responsibility for your feelings and take responsibility for how you feel about yourself. I mean, that is the way to heal self-esteem, is you just take responsibility for how you feel about yourself. Fuck all those people who gave you opinions about yourself, who are projecting their insecurities onto you. They and their activities are in the past or in the ground, and today you have to be the person who takes full responsibility for how you feel about yourself, and full responsibility for your healing journey, and full responsibility for the vision that you have as you go through these really amazing changes that bring you to a point of arrival. But you've got to cross the distance. That's what I have to say to you today. Happy new moon, happy birthday. You know where to reach me, EFC@bookofblue.com. Tarot Studio can take a while. I have three to do, Cap, Sag, and Aquarius. I may just knock them out in one day, but I don't see that day being anytime immediately. Like, it could be the end of next week, whatever. So please be patient on Tarot Studio. It could take a little while. And the thing my energy is focused on right now are two more intelligence readings. I'm working on Pisces and Aquarius as one project, and the Aquarius one is going to be interesting. It kind of caught fire the other night, meaning like that there's a, when I'm doing a piece of writing that's like 5,000 words, which is where they all wind up. I mean, Aries will wind up 7,000 words, but long piece like that, you know, I work it for a while, right? Building it, putting it together, putting in paragraphs, erasing paragraphs. Then there comes a point where the piece comes to life, and the Aquarius piece is just there right now. So that'll be exciting, and I'm planning on having that out next week. That's what I'm directing my energy at the moment. Any event, thank you for being a Waves customer and for trusting me as your astrologer and for trusting all the people who help me every day. Jane and Amy and Victoria and Jocelyn help you and help me. All right. Peace and love, my Aquarius.